Good morning. Welcome to worship on this day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and do you want to hear a depressing thought? Thank you for that encouragement. In a way, it really does not need to be a depressing thought. But that thought is this: we're all going to die. We just don't know when or how. Again, this does not need to be a depressing thought because we know by faith that death leads to a glorious life. Life now, though, is full of hardships and death. But thankfully, that is not all we have to focus on while in this life. So let us give thanks to God that we have the opportunity to not be anxious, but rather to continue to present our requests to God and give thanks for the fact that once again we have an opportunity to be refreshed in His mercy. So God bless us in that thought process this morning as we worship Him. We are celebrating the Lord's Supper today, so direct your attention to the bottom of page 2 for an announcement regarding Holy Communion. And then to help set the tone for this worship service, I invite your attention to page 3 as we continue with the song, Sign, Jesus, Shine.
The light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. So our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine.
Worship this day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us continue with the singing of How Firm a Foundation, hymn 768 in the Blue Hymnal.
Mm-hmm.
Please stand. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you. Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Almighty God, you sent your one and only Son as the word of life for our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Help us to believe what the scriptures proclaim about him and do the things that are pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our first reading for this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord comes to us from the book of Job, the seventh chapter. We have to agree with Job when he says that life is hard. And so we also then, with Job, ask the Lord for his compassion upon us. Do not mortals have hard service on earth? Are not their days like those of hired laborers, like a slave longing for the evening shadows, or a hired laborer waiting to be paid. So have I been allotted months of futility, and nights of misery have been assigned to me. When I lie down, I think, how long before I get up? The night drags on, and I toss and turn until dawn. My body is clothed with worms and scabs. My skin is broken and festering. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they come to an end without hope. Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. My eyes will never see happiness again. This is the word of the Lord. What do you know as a believer? You know that the Lord God is always with you. We are reminded of this fact in our second reading from Romans chapter 8. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. This too is the word of our Lord. Rise for the gospel reading. Jesus did not just come to heal our physical ailments, but more importantly, to redeem us from the greatest ailment, that being of sin and its consequence, death. Our gospel reading, Mark chapter 1. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance, and this from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn our attention back to the Old Testament reading, where we hear once again these words from Job chapter 7. Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. My eyes will never see happiness again. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow people of God, are you happy? Are there things in life that make you happy? And then on the flip side, are there things in life that do not make you happy? Are you of the logic which says that this or that sin makes me happy, so it must be okay because God wants me to be happy? Do you know of someone who thinks in that way? If you are not happy, is God to blame for that? And when you are happy, does God get the credit for that? Is happiness and joyful the same thing? Can one still have joy in life, though not be happy about life's circumstances? Job, the man mentioned in our text, was living a pretty blessed, full life. One moment, and then the next, he was living a very unhappy, not feeling the blessings kind of life. What happened? Did he do something horrible to deserve what the bulk of the book of Job talks about? Job was struggling physically, emotionally, and even spiritually. He was struggling to figure out what was at the basis for the misfortune in his life and how then to get through it. While Job was on the brink of losing it, the faith even, by the grace of God, he did not. And we have some beautiful confessions of faith from his lips that can be applied to our own life. When we are going through a down and out period, when we are feeling all alone, though surrounded by family and friends. If you are familiar with the book of Job, you know how Job was humming along in life. Wealth, health, family, only to have his life turned upside down. You can read the details in the first two chapters. His business deals were being hijacked. His employees and product were being killed and destroyed. His children were killed. And then he himself was inflicted with horrible sores all over his body. Most people, believer or unbeliever, would have cursed God if only a portion of what happened to Job would happen to them. Here are a couple of Job's initial responses. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Again, this is not to say Job did not struggle with his faith and have questions for God as his negative life situation endured for some time. However, there is another valuable response and lesson we can learn from Job in the face of life's challenging moments, moments that may not make us happy. That response is this: pray for God's compassion. We need it, dear friends, and God definitely gives it. Have you had days when you get out of bed and it feels like you've been run over by a Mack truck? Some of you might be saying, days? Try every day feels like that. Well, you are not alone. And I say that not to help you make you feel better, because while misery loves company, company does not love misery. There is no denying, though, life is full of misery. Maybe we ourselves are not experiencing anything really to speak of at the moment, but it is still all around us as we see the homeless, as we have prayers for our fellow church members and family members going through something physical like dealing with cancer, as people are still trying to heal from fires and mudslides, as well as from killings taking place in schools and churches and on our streets. What is the cause of all of this misery? Is it a sign that God does not exist or that God does not care? People think that a God of love should not allow such things to happen in this world. And since it does happen, either he is non-existent or he is non-caring or he is inept at his job. People like to view God as a genie in the bottle. Grant me my wishes or else I will not believe in you. But sometimes we have to recognize that there will not be a direct answer to the cause of misery. Yet what we do know for sure is that because of sin coming into this world, which was created to be good, there are consequences that have come with it. Just because we live in a sinful world, we will stub our toe on the corner of the chair or the bed, even though a family member may not have moved such recently. Just because we live in a sinful world, we have to deal with such things as the flu, cancer, aches and pains, financial woes, even death. Job was making the case for this as the source of his misery, and not something specific that he had done. His friends, rather, were trying to make that the cause to his misery. It is true, there are times we have to admit that it is because of something we have done or failed to do that has brought misery into our life. We have a sinful nature, and though not an excuse for such, this can lead us to do some horrific things when pushed out of our comfort zone or due to peer pressure. Excessive smoking and drinking can lead to some physical consequences down the road. Abusing a spouse or a child can lead to a lost relationship. Experiencing the thrill of jumping off a cliff or a bridge or out of an airplane, though not wrong per se, can lead to broken limbs as well as death itself. So we need to be less quick to blame God when life is not going the way we wanted it to go and take an honest look at what we have done or are doing to make it easier for misery to impact our life. This leads us back to Job's situation. He was spot on when he said, "Does not man have hard service on earth? Are not his days like those of a hired man? Like a slave longing for the evening shadows, or a hired man waiting eagerly for his wages. So I have been allotted months of futility, and nights of misery have been assigned to me." God, too, does not hide the fact that life in general, and even life connected to him through faith, is going to be filled with tough, miserable, frustrating, leading to depression moments. In Acts 14, for example, we are told this: "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." And this from Matthew 10: "All men will hate you because of me." Knowing what happened to Job, we can appreciate where he is coming from with his statements and line of questions for God. His friends were not much help to them, were they? As they kept insisting that Job must have done something really horrible before God to have God react toward him in this way. They were not being open to the concept for no specific reason other than sin in the world. Bad things do happen to good people. Let's define then what categorizes people to be considered good. There is the notion that people are basically good right from the start of life. Does that notion jive with what the Bible says? Not exactly. Well, each one of us does have the natural knowledge of God in us, and we do have the law of God written on our hearts. Such does not make us good people as defined by God, and it is his definition that matters. The reason why everyone does not confess God as Lord and does not do good things is because of the sinful nature we are conceived and born with. Job hinted at the fact that we have inherited a life of struggles due to the sin of Adam and Eve, an act of disobedience with lasting impact on this side of heaven. And so, are we really good? No, we are not. And we give evidence of this when we throw temper tantrums, and when we gossip, and when we cheat, and when we misbehave, and when we commit adultery, and when we steal, and so on. Good is not doing noble things from time to time. Good is perfection, and only God is that, and only God can credit us with that perfection. So while we live here on this earth, we are subject to not so good things that can happen to us, even if we have kept our lives somewhat clean. Well, why then keep our lives clean from sin if we are subject to misery either way? Well, let us not test the consequences of such an attitude. A better answer is found for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The love of Christ compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And to drive home that point, we hear this from Romans 12. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So there is plenty of God-given motivation for us to want to do the right thing and not just cave to the desires of our sinful flesh and the logic of this world. Pray then for God's compassion, because misery cannot be avoided in this life. And that misery can lead some people to despair. Despair can lead to a lack of trust in God. And a lack of trust in God is a lack of faith in God. And without faith, not only are we not able to please God, we cannot get into heaven. Job did not lose his faith. Though to say that he was not teetering would be an understatement. Listen again to his thought process. When I lie down, I think, how long before I get up? The night drags on and I toss till dawn. My body is clothed with worms and scabs. My skin is broken and festering. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they come to an end without hope. Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. My eyes will never see happiness again. Maybe you have been there emotionally and or spiritually with Job. Maybe you are there currently. Maybe you know of someone who is there with Job, hurting like he was. Physical ailments and physical pain can mess with our emotions and even our faith. Thus, we are encouraged to not give up meeting together, to bear each other's burdens, to cast our anxiety on the Lord. Misery is real. And sometimes there is not a specific reason other than we live in a sinful world. And even as Christians, we are not exempt from hardships that anyone else may encounter while in this life. But what are we not without? We are not without hope, as we have a God full of compassion to turn to, including during our time of affliction. He knows what is going on with our life. He is not allowing the negatives in our life for ill purposes only. He can and does use such times to lift up our eyes toward him. For at times we do need to be broken of thinking more of ourselves than we ought, and see that our life really is dependent on God, like it or not. When we take a step back from our situation, we can see that a life dependent on God is a good thing. Pray then for God's compassion. It is given to us and shown to us clearly in the gift of his Son, Jesus, who came in flesh with us in mind. He lived the perfect life necessary, a perfect life that we in no way could possibly live. He died an innocent death, taking all of our sins upon himself so that we would not have to die an eternal death. Well, we still die unless judgment day comes first. But through Jesus, even in death, we have a reason to rejoice. Thoughts of death may not make us happy, though thoughts of death could, as we keep in mind what the Lord Jesus has waiting for us. However, knowing that when the Lord does call us home to Himself leads us to rejoice in the midst of bad times, for not even the bad times can take away what Jesus has won for us and has waiting for us, all because of God's compassion upon us. Compassion shown through the merits of Jesus. And through those merits of Jesus, we have forgiveness. We have peace with God, the God who made and rules the universe. And with that forgiveness comes the gift of eternal life. Your aches and pains, even your depression, is not without purpose. God is able to use such to keep our eyes of faith where they need to be, looking ahead, not on what could have been. The aches and pains and misery of others puts us in a position to offer God's compassion to them, to offer them words of hope complemented by actions of hope as we support food and home shelters, as we pray with people in their misery. As we offer up encouraging words and notes, using the words of Hebrews 4 and 7, for example, as a guide. So no, we may not be happy all the time. But that, dear friends, does not mean we don't have reason to rejoice all the time. Keep that in mind. As we pray for God's compassion, we need it. And He gives it. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. They are found for us on page 9.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you. We pray. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my love, my Lord, I pour, at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Lord, thank you for watching over Barbara Carpenter during her surgery this past week. Continue to help her body heal and continually refresh her faith in you as she meditates on your promises. And be with Cynthia Rogers as she goes in for a procedure this week. We ask that this procedure bring about the desired outcome. Help her not be anxious, but to keep her eyes fixed on you, her Lord and Savior. Birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. As our fellow members celebrate a birthday this week, we thank you for them and ask that you refresh them in body and soul. The love between a husband and a wife is also a gift from you, Lord. May those couples among us able to celebrate this gift be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his wondrous birth became our brother, taking on human flesh to live in righteousness before God, and to become obedient even to death on a cross. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he is betrayed, took bread.
And when he given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Blood of our Lord and Savior. and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift, you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
And that leads all God's people to say,
Amen.
Just to highlight Bible study, further opportunity to grow in our faith taking place. The book of Zechariah will be held in the chapel. Christian decision-making will be held here in the church sanctuary. For Bible studies throughout the week, please see the weekly news and the website or call the office. Carolyn would be happy to give you such information. Membership class tonight at 5 o'clock. Keep that in mind. Father-daughter banquet coming up on the 9th. It's important that those who are attending RSVP to Carolyn, so please see that blurb in the weekly news, or also go to the school main page. So bottom line, you can go to the website and find the information you need. Dad's breakfast this Friday, so keep that in mind. 6 a.m. at the Black Bear Diner. If you plan to attend this Dad's breakfast, please RSVP to Mr. Bauer. Connecting 20s and 30s. We're having a special gathering on Saturday the 10th. We'll meet here at 4 o'clock. We would appreciate if you can RSVP. So please see the weekly news for the link on how to RSVP. So a lot of RSVP. Say that several times fast, all right? Special congregation meeting has been called for after the late service next Sunday. Keep that in mind. The main topic is a recommendation on how and why to proceed with reducing our mortgage. So just keep that in mind, please. Midweek Lenten services begin on February 14th at 7 o'clock in the evening. Reflection on God's love, that's fitting for Valentine's Day. Holy Communion will be offered at that Ash Wednesday service. Supper will be served at 5:30 that evening. Prime timers, you're up for that one, so please see the sign-up sheet in the entryway how you can help with that supper. We'd love to get a picture of you, if we haven't already. Include that in our membership app, so please see the weekly news for details. If one of the adult discipleship members happens to stop you and say, hey, please smile, that's why we're trying to update that app, as members have asked, can we get that updated or can we have more pictures included? So that's what we're doing. Thank you from the Board of Elders for the generous gifts given to help send Pastor Growth and family, Heather, to Texas for that pastor renewal, so appreciate your generosity. And again, for more timely, helpful information, please see the weekly news. If you don't get it by email, I encourage you to do so, but you can also pick up hard copies there in the entryway. Visitors, please go to our Welcome Center. We have a gift for you, waiting for you. Is there something else I'm missing? No Bible information class tonight. All right. Yes. They are available now. Year-end offering statements, thank you, are available in the lobby, so please pick those up. Anything else? Going once? Twice? Have a great day in the Lord. Greet one another in His name. Thank you.